Yo, what's going on? This is Relaxing LG underscore Jackson, and we are back with another episode of the Highly Advised Podcast. This is myself and Big Cozy Too Cozy, and this week we are focusing straight on the big event that is coming up in a few days, being UFC 276. Big Cozy Too Cozy, how are you?
I'm doing good, my brother. I'm doing good, my Brody. Shouts out to all the listeners. Shouts out to all the fans. Shouts out to all the supporters. Shouts out to all the people that I don't support. You motherfuckers are going to hell, and we won't see you in the afterlife. Gotta give big shouts out to Mama Deuce. Gotta give big shouts out to Nigel's mom. Gotta give big shouts out to all my people's mom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But also big shout out to Spence. Right now, listeners, he couldn't make this episode. He actually tripped. His kneecap got dislocated because he was chasing the chicken. You know what I mean? So that's what happens sometimes when you chase the chicken, you chase the turkey. You trip, you fall. His nose got pushed in, but he'll be all right. He'll look like a new man next time he's on the podcast. But like Nigel said, listeners, UFC 276 preview. We're going to give you a brief rundown on what we think of the fights and who do we think who's going to win, excuse me. And then that's it. But before we do get into that, Nigel, I do want to tell the listeners this.
What's up?
Make sure you follow us at the Highly Advised Podcast on Instagram, Advise Highly on Twitter, and the Highly Advised Podcast on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to us on the Highly Advised Podcast on YouTube. Make sure you like, comment, share, tell a peer about our stuff. We would greatly appreciate it. I know that's not good grammar, but fuck it. Who cares? It's a free space here, a safe space, as some people would like to say. Now, before we start getting into this card, and Nigel, I would like for you to kind of open up with that. I do want to give I want to shed some light on a little bit of news before we move on to MMA. And this is combat sports related.
Okay.
The listeners, before we get to the nitty gritty of the UFC, two well-known football players, probably is going to be a future Hall of Famer in Adrian Peterson, and another maybe Hall of Famer. I don't know if he's first ballot. I don't think he should be. Le'Veon Bell.
I'm going to say no.
I mean, I would agree with you too. So anyway, Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell, they're set to actually box each other, listeners. By the time this podcast comes out, by the time you actually listen to it, you might have known. Maybe you don't know. Anyway, they're going to box each other under exhibition rules, so there's not going to be a winner unless somebody gets, like, knocked out. Nigel, what do you think? I think it's just very interesting that all of a sudden all these athletes are starting to box. Makes me wonder, are they broke or they actually love boxing?
Well, did you mention who they're also boxing on the card with?
Oh, damn. How could I forget? Blueface. That's right. Blueface, baby. That guy, he's boxing Nick Young.
Yes.
Listeners, if you don't know who Nick Young is, he used to play for the Los Angeles Lakers. Or for all the shade roommates like Spence, he used to be in a relationship with Iggy Azalea?
Yes.
Yeah. And there we go. They're boxing each other too. I know people are going to think I'm crazy, but I'm putting my money on Blueface on that fight because at least he already had a boxing bout before this.
I mean, it's just fun. It's just all entertaining to me, man. Like, I'm going to watch these fights while they're happening, not because, like, it means anything, but I think it's going to be fun to see it. And plus, me as a Steelers fan, I want to see Le'Veon Bell. It's like fucking Minnesota Vikings versus Pittsburgh Steelers, like, for real in the ring. So I'm curious to see it. The Blueface fight, I think, is going to be funny, too. So I want to see that just because I have no idea as to why him and Nick Young are actually boxing each other. It just seemed to come out of the blue, but I'm here for it.
I mean, it's for money. Like, I'm not mad at Blueface boxing for money. I'm not mad at that, you know, because I don't know how long his music career is going to last. So him getting into boxing, it's a good outlet for him, you know, because he could still make rap music and it could do box. He's just bringing more money in for himself. Now, these other guys, these athletes, them boxing, I question it because it's like, all right, are you doing it for the love of the sport? Because you weren't seeing this like 5-6 years ago. You weren't seeing this at all. Or are you doing it because you broke? And I'm not going to say one or the other. I'm just curious. Maybe a devoted listener who's a devoted fan of these athletes that we mentioned, maybe they could provide an answer. But if not, whatever. So that's all I have to say on that.
I don't know. It's interesting because you see a lot of people do it. Like, we've seen Nate Robinson, Ocho Cinco.
Yep.
Now Le'Veon Bell.
Frank Gore, he was another one.
Didn't he knock out who he fought?
He knocked out some other guy, but you're thinking of the I think his name is Deron Williams.
Mm.
Yeah. And then he didn't win that fight against him, but I think he had another fight after that and he knocked whoever out. I don't know who the person is he knocked out.
Hmm. Well, it's just interesting to see all this go down. And their boxing matches are more anticipated than it seems like some of the other boxing matches are with champions.
Yeah, it's crazy. That is crazy. You know, there's a bunch of fights that people want to see, but they're not put together due to boxing politics. And that's such a shame where the non-boxers are spreading like wildfire across ESPN, CBS Sports, Bleacher Report. But the actual championship fights, you have to actually like look for it. It's crazy.
It's wild stuff.
It's boxing. But you know what we don't have to search for?
Tell us.
The UFC.
Mm.
Because they make sure that, hey, this is a big fight. They're promoting it everywhere. Now, I'm sorry, Nigel. Now, listeners, if you are mixed martial arts fans, then please tune in. Please listen to what we have to say. Give us your thoughts and let us know what you think. Listeners who aren't mixed martial arts fans, I would like to invite you to at least check out, you know, give us a chance to explain our thoughts or predictions or whatever on these fights. And hopefully it might entice you to check out some MMA. Not that we're promoting UFC or anything like that, because we can definitely guarantee you we're not getting paid for doing it. It's just that. You know, we're just talking about shit that we really fuck with. So definitely, you know, I would just say just hang on board for the non-MMA fans. And if you're going to jump off the ship till you die. So that's all I have to say. No, I'm just playing. You know, I fuck with the listeners.
No, that's funny. All right. Yeah. So the first fight of the night. Well, I'm sorry, not the first fight, but first fight we're going to talk about of the night is Macy Barber versus Jessica Eye.
Okay.
Now, what are your thoughts on that fight?
So I think this is a fight that Macy Barber should win. I think she snapped her little losing streak that she had a little while ago. So I think she's like 3-2 in her past five fights.
I think so.
Jessica Eye, she's only won one fight in her past five. And I think Jessica is on her way out the door. I don't think this might sound like a little rude, and I'm not trying to be rude, but I always thought Jessica Eye was definitely a little overrated. And I think she was just a product of her time, meaning like there wasn't a lot of women with a good skill set in the flyweight division, let alone bantamweight, because I think she used to be a bantamweight before she dropped down or before she switched weight classes. Now, this is not to disrespect Jessica Eye or anything like that, but I just think Macy Barber is going to beat her in this fight. And I think that Macy Barber, her being the younger woman between the two, will play a factor in it. Now, if Jessica Eye beats her, then I guess it'll show that Macy Barber, she really has to go back to the shed to work on some tools, because I think this is a fight that she should not be losing at all.
I think this is a good veteran versus, you know, up and comer type fight though, with Macy Barber and Jessica Ai. I see Macy Barber winning this fight. I think she's just kind of better overall as a fighter than Jessica Ai. And not only that, I feel like her stand up is good enough to where she'll beat her in the stand up. And if she goes to the ground with her, I think she can dominate her there as well. I think Macy Barber is actually all right. She seems to be getting better over time. Like, if I'm not mistaken, she's still pretty young.
Yeah, she's definitely young. She's definitely in her early 20s. I think the thing with Macy Barber was the UFC was trying to Paige Van Zandt her, meaning like give her a big push and market her and stuff. But the thing with her, she was losing fights. And now she didn't lose a lot of fights. She only lost two fights. But still, though, it's just you had to slow down that hype train. And now that the hype train has been slowed down and then she's, you know, she's been picking up, she won her last fight and shit like that. I think just a fight with Jessica Ai is a good fight for Macy Barber to see where should she be going? Should she be moving up or should she once again take another step down because she's not quite ready to fight stiffer competition in a weight class?
That's fair enough. The next fight we have is Uriah Hall versus Andre Muniz.
So I'm not really familiar with Andre Muniz, but I do know Andre Muniz is undefeated in the UFC. And Uriah Hall, even though he lost his last fight to Sean Strickland, where it's just like he couldn't pull the trigger and he's like, I don't know if it was a mental lapse or it was just frustration in the game plan. I don't know, but he just could not pull the trigger. I don't think Uriah Hall is going to get any better than what he is right now. Like I said, I'm not familiar with Andre Muniz. I haven't seen any of his fights, but I'm not impressed with Uriah Hall with his last two fights because prior to the Sean Strickland loss, remember, he had that freak accident win against Chris Weidman. So that's not a fight that you could really be like, oh, well, you know, you can really count it on his win streak. The fight before that, yeah, it was good. I mean, it was good for Uriah Hall. But like I said, once again, which was the fight that he won before the Chris Weidman one, Anderson Silva, when he beat Anderson Silva.
Right.
Like I said, it was good for Uriah Hall, but it wasn't like, oh, okay, we're looking at a future world title contender. I don't think that of Uriah Hall. I think him beating Sean Strickland was going to start giving me the thoughts of like that, oh, maybe he could compete for a title. But when he lost to Sean Strickland the way he did, I was just like, it still looks like he's still gun-shy in a sense. And I don't know. I think Andre Muniz is probably going to win this fight. Just looking off like his streak right now in the UFC, it seems like he's a hot, fresh young guy looking to really basically climb the ranks faster than any other unknown prospect.
From looking at I'm not really familiar with Andre Muniz either, but from looking at his record, he looks to be a pretty good guy on the ground. He beat Jacare on the ground. So, I mean, you know, he can't be a slouch if he did that. Uriah Hall is not necessarily the best on the ground as well. So if he can be more consistent on the ground and actually get him there, don't see why he couldn't just tap him out. And to me, I think that's really going to be the difference maker. I feel like Uriah Hall gets gun shy, especially when it comes to people who can take him down and possibly work him on the ground, because that's just not his bread and butter, which is fine. But I feel like that his awareness of that kind of stops him from being as effective.
Yeah, no, let's just move on because I don't have anything else to say about Uriah Hall because I definitely don't want to be disrespectful to the man. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, next we have Donald Cerrone versus Jim Miller.
Yeah, so this is for the listeners who are still here at this point. This is kind of like a short notice fight for Donald Cerrone, kind of like last minute. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was like last week it was notified that he was going to step in to fight Jim Miller. As far as this fight goes, I'm picking Jim Miller. I think he's the better fighter between the two at these guys' stages of their careers. Dallas Cerrone hasn't won a fight in forever. I think he's on a 6-fight losing streak, if I'm not mistaken, or at least a 5-fight losing streak, because he had that one draw against what's his name, Nico Price. So, damn, that's crazy. That's all off memory too, man. Damn.
Yeah, you've been killing it tonight. I'm not gonna lie. I'm looking at the stats. I'm like, wow, he's right.
So, Jim Miller, though, yeah, I think he's going to beat Donald Cerrone. And mainly, I think it's because of the short notice fight factor. And two, Jim Miller, he's the type of guy where even at this stage of his career, where he's more or less of a journeyman slash veteran. And when I say journeyman, not to disrespect him, but he's a guy that, you know, what, 23 wins in the UFC? And I'm just going to guess, you could fact check this, but what, 15 losses or something like that? 14, 15 losses?
Who are you talking about, Donald Cerrone or Jim Miller?
No, Jim Miller.
Jim Miller is 34-16.
No, his UFC record.
Oh, his UFC record? I actually don't know what that is. Let me look that up.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'll find out while you're talking.
All right. But anyway, I think Jim Miller beats Donald on the ground. I think Jim Miller has the better grappling. And on the feet, even though Donald Cerrone is known for his kickboxing, his Muay Thai, I just think, like I said, once again, at this stage of their careers, I think Jim Miller is better on the feet right now, especially when it's a short notice fight. I think Jim Miller might get a finish in this fight. I truly do. I don't think he'll knock Donald out. If he knocked Donald out, I'll be like, whoa, Donald needs to hang it up right away.
Right.
But I think he's going to submit Donald Cerrone. I predict a second round submission. If he stops Donald in the first round, I'll be impressed as well.
I think he stops Donald Cerrone in the first round.
Okay.
Not because Donald Cerrone, you know, isn't skilled or anything like that, but I think Donald Cerrone is just kind of at that point in time where I think Donald Cerrone is what he is at this point in time. Unless he can actually catch Jim Miller and knock him out first, which is, you know, of course, a possibility.
Right.
I just don't think his chin has it. I think he's just kind of at the point where he's like, hey, this one last hurrah is it. And that's why I think he was going to fight Joe Lozon, because Joe Lozon is at that point in time in his career as well. Like, I don't think he's going to fight too many more times, you know? They're both legends, you know what I mean? But at the same point in time, it's what it is.
Yeah, Donald Cerrone and Jim Miller, they'll both be Hall of Famers by the end of their careers. Donald Cerrone will probably end up being a first ballot. Jim Miller, honestly, Jim Miller could be a first ballot too if he keeps on fighting to like UFC 300, which is his goal. And UFC 300, if I'm not mistaken, Nigel, I think we could probably get to UFC 300 by the end of 2023, right?
Yeah. Because
we're about to be in the 80s this summer. The fall, we're going to be finished up the 80s, and I think the winter will start the 90s. My math could be a little wrong, but I think we'll get to UFC 300 next year.
Well, the way I see it is June now is UFC 76. So that means we have at least 6 more numbered cards, which will put us at 82, right?
Right.
So then that means there's 12 more next year unless they speed it up or do like 2 in a month.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, 277 is at the end of July. Or, yeah, it's at the end of July with Pena and Nunes. Then 278 is in August. More than likely, 279 will be in September. They might do another one in September, because remember that 281 is going to be in October.
I would say that you're probably right, because we usually do get like 14 numbered cards a year.
Yeah.
So that's kind of crazy. We're almost there.
I think it's possible, but
yeah.
Like I said, both of them are going to be Hall of Famers. So the next fight, listeners, is a very highly touted and favored prospect in Ian Garry, who looks to be like the next iteration of Conor McGregor. Maybe not Conor McGregor as far as trash talk, but it could be the next iteration as far as Conor McGregor, as far as skill and bravado in the octagon. I'm not going to say out the octagon because he's not getting in trouble like Conor is getting in trouble. Ian Garry, he's fighting a gentleman named Gabe Green. Gabe Green, I'm totally not familiar with him. I don't even know if Gabe Green is a UFC newcomer or he's already had one or two fights in UFC. He's not really known. Obviously, he's a prelim fighter. And that's not just too disrespectful to him. He's just not known. So he might have just starting his UFC career for real. Just like the Andre Muniz fight, it's hard just to make real predictions about these fighters that I'm not familiar with because they're not really known in the game yet. Because these guys, these unknown guys, actually might be very skilled and very good. I picked Andre Muniz in that fight just off his win streak. But with this fight, I'm choosing Ian Garry just because I'm assuming this guy, Gabe Green, was just brought in to build up Ian Garry. And that's just my assumption. And if Gabe Green gets the job done, kudos to him. But I think this is probably one of those the UFC's putting the machine behind him. So they're getting him an opponent that maybe, you know, challenging, tough, I guess, but it's a fight that he should win. So I guess I'm just going to go with Ian Garry. Listeners, viewers, commenters, you know, don't shred us in the comment, shit on us or whatever. We're just not familiar with this gentleman. What we will start doing, well, I think, Nigel, before you give your take on this fight is, before we do breakdowns of these fights, for the fighters that we're not familiar with, maybe we should just start watching these highlights and shit.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. But looking like I'm not familiar with Gabe Green either, but in the UFC, he's 2-1. You know, I would say that with that being said, Ian Garry is probably in a good position to beat him, but this is also, I would guess, a stiff test for him in a division since he has more wins than losses in the UFC. And I happen to know one of the fighters he fought. So, you know, it looks like a little test for him. I'm assuming that the UFC booked it in a way that he possibly could win because they want to, you know, kind of give him a push clearly.
Right.
So I would assume that that's the plan. Just off of me seeing more of Ian Garry's fights, I have to go on Ian Garry, but I'm curious to see if he can pass this test they set up for him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's obviously somebody they're trying to develop and put to the next level.
Right.
Yeah.
So the next fight we have is Robbie Lawler versus Brian Barberena. Now, Robbie Lawler, he just fought Nick Diaz. That was his last fight. And I think he kind of wasn't fighting for a little bit prior to that. So I guess he's trying to be a little bit more active as a fighting. This is an interesting fight for him because Brian Barberena is a stiff test. He's kind of well-rounded, but he's not really necessarily great at anything. But I think that he could also bring him in some deep waters because he is one of those fighters that are just kind of hard to take out. So this might end up being a war-type fight if Robbie Lawler and him just kind of get into it. It could be kind of entertaining, but I think I'm going to take Robbie Lawler because I can only – I feel like everywhere in this fight, Robbie Lawler is better than Brian.
I agree 100%. Let me give a little context. I mean, not context, but let me say something related to this fight before actually explaining my prediction. Robbie Lawler and Brian Barberena, they actually got promoted to the main card of UFC 276 because Miesha Tate and Lauren Murphy, you heard about their fight being canceled off the card.
Yeah.
Yeah. So their fight actually got rescheduled for another fight night. More news on that later, listeners. But yeah, Robbie Lawler, Brian Barberena, they're now the pay-per-view portion of this card. I agree with Nigel's take that I think Robbie Lawler is better than everywhere than Brian Barberena. I think this is a massive step up in competition for Brian Barberena. I get it. Robbie Lawler, he's not looking so hot these days. He's losing a lot since he lost the belt to Tyron Woodley years ago, but it's still Robbie Lawler. You know, there's not too many people that I'll pick against Robbie Lawler if they're not in the top 10. Outside of the top 10, I might choose Robbie Lawler 9 times out of 10. And this is one of the 9 times I'm choosing Robbie Lawler to win this fight. I think he's better than Brian Barberena everywhere. I think he's more durable. I think his strike is a lot better. If it needs to go to the ground, I think his wrestling is better, at least definitely good enough to stand up. Obviously, he has the finishing ability, that he has the championship IQ, so he has the experience in the octagon for sure. Now, some kudos to Brian Barberina. As you mentioned, Nigel, he is a tough fighter. He's very durable. Don't expect to land a few punches on him and you think that he's going to go to sleep. No, you're going to have to earn that knockout. And Robbie Lawler will earn it, and I think he will get a second round TKO over Brian Barberina. I just think it's going to eventually become too much. What I do want to add to that with Brian Barberina is I think he did lose his last fight against Matt Brown. Now, I understand it was kind of a close fight, but I thought Matt Brown did enough to edge it. I feel like if Brian was struggling with a guy and Matt Brown, somebody that Robbie Lawler kind of beat handily when he fought Matt Brown back in the day, I don't think Brian is going to have much more success than Rob. Now, I understand for the MMA guys, they're probably like, oh, well, MMA math doesn't work. I get that, and I agree. It doesn't work. But I just think that Robbie Lawler is just a much better fighter than Brian Barberina. And no disrespect to Brian Barberina, because once again, he stepped up and took this fight. And this is – he beats Robbie Lawler. Brian Barberina is looking at a top 50 fight in the UFC if he beats Robbie Lawler, or maybe a top 10 on the bottom half.
Yeah,
it's a big deal to beat Robbie Lawler when you're somebody such as Brian Barberina. I just don't think Brian is going to pull this off. But shouts out to the both of them.
Now, the main event of the prelims is Brad, and listeners, correct me, Riddle against Jalen Turner. I was looking at their fights recently, and it looks like it's about to be a stand-up fight between them. And I would think that Jalen Turner would have some flashy type stand-up that might win him and win this fight for him. I think he's like kind of just a little bit more, I would say, what's the best word? Like, he has a little bit more deception in his strikes. While Brad Riddell, it looks like he's just more of a straightforward fighter, and I think that would be in the favor of Jalen Turner.
So this fight here to me is kind of a pick-up fight.
I agree.
I know Brad Riddell might be the favorite, especially he had even though he just lost to Rafael Fiziev, right? That's how you pronounce Rafael? Yeah. I know he just lost to him, but he had a barb burner fight with Drew Dober. So people see that he could strike. He's willing to trade in the pocket, and he's not just I'm going to duck my head and pray for the best and throw overhand rights. He actually looks like he knows what he's doing. If I'm listeners, you could correct me wrong, not you correct me wrong, but I think that Brad Riddell has a good use of his Muay Thai. I'm picking Brad Riddell to win in this pickup fight. I could be very well wrong. Jalen Turner could really turn it around. I just think Brad Riddell just fought tougher competition. And I think that helps when you're fighting guys who hasn't fought the kind of competition you have fought. I feel like that helps with your experience, your IQ, and you're used to dealing with somebody who perhaps is better than you. So when you're fighting a guy that's maybe on the same level as you, or maybe a little less, it's kind of a little bit of I don't want to say relief. The challenge is not as difficult. Now, I'm not saying Jalen Turner is an easy challenge. No, like I said, it's a pick-up, but I think Brad Riddell would do enough to get a decision in this fight. Like, once again, I could be very wrong, but to pick him, but I'm just flipping the coin, and my coin just went over to Brad Riddell.
All right. So the next fight that we would have, because Robbie Lawler would be the first fight on the main card, is Pedro Munhoz versus Sean O'Malley. Now, this fight is very interesting to me. And also, I want to hear as to why Kenny Florian said that this might be a good fight for Sean. But me personally, I have this fight personally as a little bit of a pick-em myself, because we know that Sean O'Malley can fight and he has great stand-up. And we know that Pedro Munhoz has some pretty damn good stand-up as well. And he has a chin at that. The thing is that Sean O'Malley will probably get his chin checked in this fight. And we're going to see how well it stacks up to Pedro Munhoz, who we know can actually stay in there. Or we're going to have to see some type of ground game from the one of them, because this fight has the potential to be like a little bit of a barn burner, if I, in my opinion, like a very interesting fight. So, I mean, I'm curious to see as to what happens.
Yeah. I agree that this fight is definitely a pick-em. It's hard with this fight, too, or who I think is going to win. I think, in my opinion, in my uneducated opinion, I think that this is extremely a tough test for Sean O'Malley. This is easily the toughest opponent he's ever fought. And you could tell that Sean O'Malley can't fight. You could definitely tell that he got the skills, and you could definitely tell that he got the IQ. Because when he's beating these fighters up that he's beating up, yeah, there might be cans or cab drivers, whatever, and not to disrespect them, but you know, it's like they were brought in to stare at the lights. So I think that this fight is going to either be a Sean O'Malley coming out party, or I told you so from a lot of people that he's not that good. I think Sean O'Malley is going to win this fight, but I don't think he's going to have an easy time winning this fight. I think Pedro Munhoz is a dog, and I think that Sean O'Malley's footwork is going to actually going to be the reason why he wins this fight. Kenny Florian from the Annika Florian podcast, listeners, don't listen to them, listen to us. But they were saying, Kenny Florian was saying that Pedro Munhoz was kind of like stationary, and that's kind of like tailor-made to Sean O'Malley's game. And if Kenny is right on his assessment, and you know, Kenny would know a lot more than us because he challenged for 3 world championships and he's currently commentating for the PFL. So he knows more than me and good old Nigel would.
He's a legend. He's a legend.
Yeah, 100%. So if Kenny's right in his assessment, then I'm, you know, Kenny knew what the fuck he was talking about. And I kind of agree that Pedro Munhoz is a little stagnant, because remember in the Dominic Cruz fight, he did have him hurt. And Dominic Cruz was able to come back, utilize his footwork, and steal a win. So, and when I mean steal, like he won that fight without a shadow of a doubt, but that was a fight that Pedro Munhoz could have capitalized on and maybe get a finish. Maybe not. I don't know. But so I'm picking Sean O'Malley by decision. I think Sean O'Malley proves that he belongs amongst the top 10 of bantamweights with this fight.
The next fight we have is an interesting middleweight bout. We have Sean Strickland versus Alex Pereira, and I find this to be an interesting fight that the UFC put together. Apparently, after this fight, if Alex is the win, he will get the next shot at Israel Adesanya. And I have him to win this fight because I don't think Sean Strickland will be able to. I don't think he'll be able to use his stand up against him the way he has other fighters.
Yeah,
I think the UFC booked this knowing that, and I think that they are looking forward to getting him in the title shot with Izzy.
I agree. The Israel Alex Pereira fight is a fight that could sell itself. I think the UFC sees that. After Robert Whittaker and Marvin Vettori, the UFC is like, damn, we can't really get him any middleweight contenders to help sell a pay-per-view. So Alex Pereira, a guy that knocked him out before kickboxing, beat him twice overall back at kickboxing. You know they're going to use the footage. You know they're going to keep highlighting that. Alex Pereira, you know he's going to be talking shit about that. You know Glover Teixeira is already talking shit about Israel doesn't want to fight him, doesn't want to see him, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. I think Alex is going to win. I think this is actually a terrible matchup for Sean Strickland. I think Alex is a guy that if you're going to be trading punches with him, hopefully, striking wise, you're the shit too. Because if not, you're gonna get knocked out. And Sean Strickland style, I don't see him being able to duke it out with Alex. Now, if he beats Alex Pereira, I think it's gonna be like, wow, okay, Sean. You know, maybe Sean should get a title shot. I'm not saying he will, but like this, I think, like Nigel said, this fight is UFC made for Alex right now.
The next fight we have one of two title fights, Alexander Volkanovski versus Max Holloway, the trilogy fight. I think that this is going to be an interesting fight because this is really the one that makes it. I thought that Max Holloway got closer to beating Alexander. Oh, I'm sorry. He, in the second fight they had, it seemed like he was more in tune as to what the game was. But even then, Alexander Volkanovski, he's just very fast in a stand-up and can stand there with Max Holloway, who is one of the best stand-up fighters in the UFC. I have Alexander Volkanovski winning this fight and taking the trilogy. And that's I feel like he's getting better. And I feel like while Max Holloway is good, I think he just has his number. And I feel like Max Holloway might be better going lightweight because I know he can contend with a few people there as well.
So I disagree with that. Max can go up to lightweight. The reason why I say that, because I think he's just not
built for that.
Yeah, he's not built for that weight class. Yeah, I know people go like, oh, well, look at the Dustin Poirier fight. I mean, I feel like if Max fought anybody else too, like Justin Gaethje, Charles Oliveira. Well, you know, Max beat Charles Oliveira. That's a crazy thing. So maybe Max can compete at lightweight.
Maybe.
But certain matchups, not all.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So maybe he can. So I'll take that back. I apologize. But I am picking Volkanovski to win this fight. I think Volkanovski is one of the greatest game plan-esque fighters out there. It's like him and his team could break down a fighter and see their weak points and they attack it. Volkanovski can match Max's cardio. He can match his speed. Max might have more finesse and skill in his boxing and his stand-up and his striking, but Volkanovski's stand-up and his striking is no slouch neither. And at the same time, Volkanovski does have the knockout power that Max does not. So I think this fight here is going to go to another decision. It could be fight of the night. I just think Volkanovski is just going to have his number again. And it's unfortunate for the Max Holloway fans or the people that want him to win. I just think that Holloway beats any other featherweight, not named Alexander Volkanovski. And, well, I just hope that the fight is very entertaining and stuff. But I don't think Max is get it done, man. I don't see it.
So after he beats, well, if he beats Max, do we say that he's the best featherweight of all time?
100%. I think he is. And I know some people could be like, oh, Aldo or Conor McGregor. Mm-hmm. Conor McGregor, he had a say in best featherweight of all time. But once he knocked out Aldo, he moved up. Never wanted to come back down.
Never defended it.
Never defended a belt as well. Max, he was making a strong-ass case that he was going to be the greatest featherweight of all time. But Volkanovski beats him. Now Volkanovski, he already beat Jose Aldo before he got the belt. Then he beat Max. Then he beat Max again. Then he beat Brian Ortega. Then he finishes Korean Zombie, Chang Sung Jung. So I think if he beats Max Holloway a third time, I think right there, but like, well, he's the greatest. Does that mean he cleaned out his division? No, not necessarily. I think now you can make that Josh Emmett fight. If Arnold Allen gets a big win in the division, you can make that fight as well. So there's a couple. You can't forget about Yair Rodriguez if he's able to win. So there's a couple, you know, onesie twosies fights here that Volkanovski could still clean up. But as far as like beating the best of the best featherweights of all time, he's beating them. And I think that if Volkanovski was fighting Conor at featherweight, I think Volkanovski would have been the man to beat him too because of his very versatile skill set, not just with the striking, but he has damn good wrestling as well.
So one more question. If Max wins, do you think we get the fourth fight or do we move on?
No, the fourth fight will happen. I just don't think that it will happen next, because I think what's going to happen is if, and it's a big if Max wins, the UFC is going to try to book Max against another person. Maybe it could be Josh Emmett, Yair Rodriguez, Arnold Allen, whatever the fuck. Then they're going to book Volkanovski, get somebody to go through real quick, wash their ass real quick. Then they're going to do the fourth fight. And then Volkanovski and Max, it's either that they're going to tie, or Volkanovski is going to walk away with, you know, beating him in the series. But with that being said, though, I know I've seen a lot of people saying like, hey, if Max wins, it's going to suck because obviously we're going to see a fourth fight. And if Max wins that fourth fight, we're going to see a fifth fight to see the definitive winner, which sucks because it's like, you know, it's like we're watching the NBA playoffs all over again, you know, best out, whoever wins four first in the series. It's crazy. So
I feel like we should only get the fourth fight if they're, you know, both doing the best to be number one and number two after clearing out a couple people each. But
yeah, I agree with that.
Yep. You know, that's just me. But the main event of UFC 276 is Israel Adesanya versus Jared Cannonier. This is an interesting fight. Lau, what are your thoughts?
Get his name right. Adesanya.
I said it. I'm not going to stop and put it.
Adesanya.
You just said his name slow. I said it.
You need to say it faster.
Nah, I'm good.
Anyway, I think Israel wins this fight. I think he's going to win by third round TKO. Jared Cannonier is a damn good fighter. I think Jared Cannonier is a great middleweight for sure. I just think that the two fights that are not good for him is Adesanya and Robert Whittaker. Now, since his fight with Israel is what we're talking about, I'm just going to explain like what I mean. I think that one, Israel doesn't really have to do much in this fight. He could really pick Jared up from the outside, throw leg kicks, body kicks, maybe, you know, throw a couple of head kicks, you know, hit him with a few jabs, some straights. And then once he breaks Jared down, you know, gets his timing right, see the tendencies that Jared is doing or what he's trying to do, I think Israel could go in for the kill and knock him out. I just don't think Jared, the only way Jared could pull this win off, if he's able to close the distance, stop Israel from moving around, and just throw haymakers until one of them lands. I don't think that if he drags Israel to the ground and tries to wrestle him, that could be a game plan too. But I always, when I talk to people about Israel Adesanya, I'm like, yo, his defensive wrestling is underrated. It's kind of slept on because look at Robert Whittaker. Robert Whittaker couldn't hold him down. And Robert Whittaker is one of the better wrestlers at middleweight. Marvin Vettori could not hold him down. And Marvin Vettori is one of the better wrestlers at middleweight. So people can't go in there thinking like, well, I'm going to take the skinny guy down and wrap him up, choke us out, and da-da-da. No, it's going to take a lot more than that. You either got to be a world-class wrestler, like, I don't know, give me like Chael Sonnen in his heyday, you know, or Dan Henderson. That's another one. If not, you're going to have to game plan to beat him, or you just got to be a better striker than him. So you can't just be a one-trick pony in with wrestling and think that's going to be okay with Israel. I don't think Jared has the skill set to take a win from Israel Adesanya. I think Israel will pick him apart in three rounds, break his ass down, and then go for the finish. And then we might get Israel versus Alex Pierre, the grudge match later in the year.
I have Israel in round four just because Jared Cannonier is a pretty tough out and he's a good fighter, you know, like he's pretty good everywhere. I don't think he's going to necessarily get caught early in the fight, but this fight kind of reminds me of him versus Robert Whittaker. And if you remember that fight, Jared Cannonier got caught real bad at one point in time in that fight. It got really wobbly and Israel has more of a opportunity to do that just because of the way his striking is. He catches you from angles that you don't really see. And not to say that he's chinny or anything like that, but I feel like his wrestling isn't necessarily the best wrestling. So Israel Adesanya isn't necessarily, I don't think he's going to struggle too much unless his wrestling is just superb in this match and he really just overwhelms him, which, I mean, it's possible because of who Jared Cannonier is, but I just don't see the fight going that way.
I think strength might be a factor. Like, Jared probably is much stronger than Adesanya, but as you know, and everybody with a brain in their skull knows, that strength isn't the only thing when it comes to high-level grappling in MMA. There's guys, Nigel, that you could probably beat in an arm wrestling contest that fights for the UFC. But that does not fucking mean that you can out-grapple them. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like they know their shit, their technique. They practice it. They've trained it. They drilled it. They know some shit. They know some sneaky shit that we don't know, you know? And we watch the shit consistently, almost every weekend. And they know shit that we just don't know because we're not in the gym training as hard as they are.
Yeah. This is their shit.
Exactly. So I don't think Jared is going to be able to utilize his grappling to beat Adesanya in this fight. I think that is his best idea. But then once again, you're dealing with somebody who's fast as fuck, who has great footwork, and you said it yourself, could throw strikes at different angles that the average person is not seeing, not thinking, and not believing where it came from. Jared might get hit. It might be like, where the fuck did that come from? And once he has those thoughts in his head, that's going to fuck with him mentally. Then Adesanya is going to do his thing. So but that's my prediction of the main event.
All right. So what do you think is going to be the most entertaining fight on this card?
It's either the co-main event or, well, I think the main event is going to be very entertaining. I do. I know a lot of people talk shit about, Adesanya is the leg kick master. He's in boring fights, da, da, da. I feel like people are still hanging on to that Romero shit because I'm like, the fight with Whitaker, I didn't think that fight was that bad. I'm not saying it was the greatest fight in the world, but it wasn't like some snooze fest, like people like to say. And you definitely can't say his fight with Vettori or his fight with Paulo Costa were fucking Romero bad. They weren't. So I think this fight, Israel is trying to prove a point. Obviously, Jared is trying to prove a point. And I think these guys are going to try to go at it a little bit. The co-main event could be the fight of the night for me. But I don't know. We'll see. One fight I think might steal the show, though, is Robbie Lawler, Brian Barberina. Those guys like to punch. They like to block punches with their face a lot. So
I think that it's either going to be that fight or I would say the Alexander Volkanovski, Max Holloway fight. That's going to be a fight to see.
Yeah, I feel like all the fights we talked about are all fights to see. Yes, even for the Macy Barber, Ian Gary, those type of fights. The reason why they're fights to see is because, hey, these guys might be the future of the UFC. You just don't know it yet. You know what I mean? Same thing with Andre Muniz. We're not familiar with him, but he might be the future of that division. We don't know yet. And I think this card is a good card. Is obviously the best card on paper of the year. And hopefully the UFC keeps rocking and rolling after this card.
Do you have anything else for the listeners this week?
As far as this week goes, no, but I do want to say something maybe that's not unrelated to combat sports. And Nigel, you probably want to chime in on it a little bit. I know the biggest hot topic that's been happening from last week into this week is Roe versus Wade, Roe v. Wade, however you want to transcribe it. Me, talk about Big Cozy, I stand with the women who believe in their body is their right to do as they please. I'm not going to get into the political spat. I don't care in the comments or you guys hitting me up in the DMs. You're not going to bait me into it. I stand by the women. I support women 100%. Yes, I understand that there's probably some context where like, oh, how can you abort a baby that's already 6 or 7 months? And I'm kind of like, we're not talking about that at all. I think common sense will tell you the right answer with that. But, you know, for the women who believe that, hey, it's their right to either keep the baby or not keep the baby for whatever reason, you know, we can always get into nitty gritty. There's a lot of gray area of this shit. I stand with those women to have their choice of their own bodies that they were born with and that they have to deal with. You know, once again, I'm not going to really get into like the whole political thing and all that, because I know people are going to either agree with me and be like, yeah, you know, you're right, Cozy. Or they're going to be like, oh, you know what the fuck you're talking about. You're a hardcore liberal. By the way, I'm not a hardcore liberal, but whatever.
The way I see it is, I think it's a shame that, you know, women have had that right taken away from them. But
don't say that. They didn't have that right taken away from them.
They made it illegal for them to do what they had the opportunity to do before at their own will.
No. So, I mean, like, if you're talking about like at the federal level, they basically say, hey, this is not a federal law anymore. It's among the states. If you're talking about the states level, yeah, if you're talking about the states that actually did activate the trigger laws and right. Be like, yeah, it's good. Yeah, if you're talking about that, okay, cool.
Well, yeah, and women in those areas, yeah, they're dealing with a lot right now. And really, this is something that affects women all over the country, and it's just a shame that they have to go through that. To me personally, I feel like I'm not ever going to be in a position to make that decision. So I feel like I don't necessarily have the right to say if somebody should or should not do that. So, you know, I feel like that should be given to the person who actually is going to be in a position to have a baby, which is not me or you. And, you know, I feel like it's a very sad day in America that this has happened, but, you know, I guess we will see as to how things go.
Yeah. So you listen, you hear from us too. We definitely stand with the women. I believe that if it's her body, it is her choice. I'm not going to fucking argue with you. I'm not. You could eat a dick. You could eat the skin off a dick and you could die for all I care for. I will not argue with you. I don't give a fuck. So, listeners, with that being said, make sure you check out UFC 276 so we could chop it up. And you can look forward to the next episode so we could talk about the fights after that happened. But make sure you follow us at the Highly Advised Podcast on Instagram, Advise Highly on Twitter, and make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube at the Highly Advised Podcast. Make sure you like our shit. Make sure you comment on our videos. You know, share with a friend, family members, et cetera, et cetera. And once again, shout out to Spence, my dog. I hope you heal up from chasing them chickens.
You can follow me at relaxing_LG_Jackson. We will be back next week talking about more things, possibly UFC things, all types of fun things and whatnot. You have been highly advised. We will see you next week.
Sha 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 sha.